Before I get into continuing on the message series that we have been ministering, the predetermined particulars of your purpose on earth, because we just came into the second quarter of the year, January was a great opening for us. The Lord helped us get in, and what a glorious time we've had since then. What a blessing the Lord has helped us enjoy since then. But April actually represents an open door into another quarter. And so what I would like to do as we get into this next quarter, and I'm not sure the different varieties in which I might do it this quarter and how the Lord will help us or lead us to do it next quarter. But I want to take some time before I go back to the message series that I'm ministering. I want to take some time and actually go back to our confession. I want to go back to our 2021 confession. I want us to revisit our confession, our 2021. And part of the reason I believe the Lord is having me remind us about this and have us go down this this road is to challenge us about the power of the Word of God, His promise, and what He wants to do in our lives. Remember, these prophetic confessions, that's God's contract with us for 2021. That is God's covenant. That is God's, that's His promise. The Lord said, I'm going to do this for you this year. I'm going to do this for you this year. I'm going to do this for you this year. Now, I don't want us to be so quick to forget. And I don't want us to settle into that comfortable mode where we're just on autopilot and we're not really laying hold on this word. This is God's covenant. This is God's promise to you and to your family for this year. He said 2021 will be a year of lifting up, a year of breaking out, and a year of new beginnings. So I'm going to ask you, help me back there, please. Put up that 2021 confession for us. That's where I'm going to start off from today. And I'm going to, like I said, I'll probably do this a few weeks this month, and I'll see how the Lord leads me. But I am very committed to bringing this out periodically this year, right through the year. Amen. I'm not going to let us go to sleep on this. Amen. Because, you know, the Word of God is powerful. The Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Yes. But when you stop using that sword, it stops working. A sword is just like a chair until you use it for the purpose for which it was designed. So if the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, that sword is supposed to be working now. It's supposed to be creating. It's supposed to be opening up. It's supposed to be tearing apart. It's supposed to be delivering in our lives. And because we have a responsibility, not just to remember, but also to activate this word, it is very important that we keep it right before our eyes. So I think that's part of why the Lord is leading us to do this at the beginning of this second quarter of the year. So if I hope we'll probably have it on, thank you for putting it up, we'll probably have it on our stream as well. So what I'd like us to do is, I'd just like us to go through it very slowly. Subsequently, in the fourth upcoming weeks, I might maybe pause a little bit and take one or two parts of the confession and actually delve into it a bit more. I might do that this morning. You know, don't count that out. You know, I told the Lord I'm open. Just lead us. I have a full message to minister, but He put this very strongly in my heart, and I want to get us started from here. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's do it together. 2021 is my year of lifting up, breaking out, and new beginnings. Amen. Amen. This is my year of divine lifting, and there is a lifting up for me. God has lifted me up out of the miry clay of life onto the hilltops of destiny. And he feeds me with honey out of the rock. My glory and the lifter up of my head, he bears me up on eagle's wings, and he makes me ride upon the high places of the earth. I have been elevated to sit among princes, and I see upgrades in every area of my life. I am running through troops and leaping over walls. This is my year of divine lifting, and there is a lifting up for me. This is my breakout year, and I have been set up for unprecedented success. There is a purpose for my life, and I will live and not die. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I have the victory that overcomes the world. Give me this mountain. Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible for me. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and it has not entered into the heart of any man the great things that God has prepared for me and the great things that God has prepared me for. This is my breakout year, and I have been set up for unprecedented success. When Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. No matter what the world says, Jesus will have the final say. My Lord saved the best for the last, and I shall not go out empty. This is my season of new beginnings and new wine. The best wine, the best life, the best miracles, the best destiny. My storage places are filled with good, and my vats are overflowing with the best of the land. Woo! I speak to dead bones, come alive. Rivers of living water flow out of me. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And I see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. All things are working together for my good. And God is doing the exceeding abundantly in my life. My Lord saved the best for the last, and I shall not go out empty. 2021 is my year of lifting up, breaking out, and new beginnings in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. And amen. For those of you who got the original printout of these confessions, you know at the bottom of those confessions of the printout, you have a number of scriptures, loads of scriptures. And I know from the beginning of the year, just because of the way we get started, we don't really that much give a lot of attention to those scriptures then. But as I revisit these confessions over the next, you know, whatever few weeks as the Lord will lead, I'm going to read some of those scriptures. Because this word has to happen. Now, I know it is happening for many already. But I'm very, very passionate. I'm very jealous for all of God's people. I want it to happen in all of our lives. I don't want it to happen for a few, and it doesn't happen for a few. So all of us are going to be in partnership, and we're going to ride this horse together. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. We're going to go on this journey together. We're going to lay hold on everything that the Lord promised us. We're going to do it together. Now, the only way this won't happen for you is if you don't do what the Lord declares for you to do. So God can't make us. He's, you know, he doesn't have control over our will. He does if he wants to, but he chooses to let us be free will or free-willed beings. So God isn't going to make us do the things that we're supposed to do. But as long as we play our part, this word will happen in our lives. Now, part of our part that we need to play is we need to keep this vision before our eyes. And then we need to begin to aspire for it. Hey, the first quarter of the year is already gone. See, by now, we shouldn't be, you know, just playing around like we have time here. Amen. You know, when you are running a relay race, you know, the first person who starts that relay, you know, they start and they do their best. By the time you are, if it's a four-man relay race, by the time you get to that second person, there's already some marks. You know, the other people on the other lanes, some have already gone ahead. You find that you have some ground to cover. Right? You at that point, you start saying to yourself, wait. I can't be playing around. I have ground to cover here. Yeah. I'm behind. Amen. Yeah. And that's the kind of thing pouring out of my spirit here. Amen. Think about it. Divine lifting. Divine lifting. So that means wherever you are today, you should already be higher than wherever you are in December 2020. You should already be higher. Several levels higher. Now God isn't done. He isn't done yet. He still has higher levels to take us, but you should already be higher. I like it where he says, upgrades, I see, I've been elevated to sit among princes, and I see upgrades in every area of my life. All of us should go through this week, go back home when we get some time, and look at every area of our lives and say, okay, where are the upgrades? Are there really upgrades in every area? If there are no upgrades, then we need to begin to attack those areas and say, you know, hey, I insist on upgrade. There is supposed to be upgrade here. God said there will be upgrade here. Amen. We're not going to sit around just moping and just, you know, playing the same old games. Right. Doing the same old things that we've always done. No. We are going to have upgrade. Now, it came up in my spirit. I was meditating over this confession earlier this morning before the service. It came up in my spirit. There's a total difference between downgrade and upgrade. Is a total difference. When you upgrade, you all know. If you upgrade your phone, the technology immediately becomes quicker. The phone works better. Everything about it is smoother. You know, all these apps, they say, oh, well, you know, we need you to update your apps. And by the time you do that, your phone or your device or whatever it is, your car, all of those, they should be working better. Now, when you downgrade, they work less. Something that was fast before becomes slow. Everything becomes sluggish. It just drag and drag and drag. That means you are downgrading. And you need to go back and say, wait a minute. God said there will be upgrade in every area of my life. Upgrade. Upgrade. Hallelujah. There's a total difference between upgrade and downgrade. And while I was praying this morning, getting ready for this service, the Lord said to me, someone is debating in their spirit between downsizing and upsizing. I know sometimes downsizing makes sense. For some people, it makes sense to downsize. But the Lord said to me specifically this morning, someone is out there debating between downsizing and upsizing. And the Lord said, don't downsize, upsize. The Lord said, don't downgrade, upgrade. Amen. This is your year for upgrade. Amen. This is not your year to pull back. This is not your year to try to do less. This is not your year to try to shut down. This is your year to rise up. He said, I have been elevated. That word stood out to me this morning. I have been elevated to sit among the princes. Sit with the princes.
Hallelujah.
To sit with the princes.
Hallelujah.
There are upgrades. This word has to happen in your life. God will upgrade you in every area of your life. Beginning from your spiritual life, you already should be feeling some upgrades. Then into your emotional life, your physical life, your material resources that are available to you. Hallelujah. Possessions, investments, wealth, material blessings. There should already be some upgrades in your life. Hallelujah. The tires that were round and were already swelling last year when you drive your car and the car is bouncing like there's something bounce. Those tires should already have been changed by now.
Upgrade.
Upgrade.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Those things you were patching. Let's just keep patching. By now you should have replaced them.
Upgrade.
In every area of your life. Amen. The things that were an irritation to you, the things that made you upset, the things that distracted you, like by now, you should have dealt with those things. By now, you should have dealt with those things. Upgrade.
Upgrade.
We're going higher. We're going up. We don't have time to be playing with chickens. We don't have time to be doing all this nonsense. We're going somewhere. He said, the eagle, what did he say about the eagle? He said there about the eagle, what did he say? My glory and the lifter up of my head, he bears me up on eagle's wings and makes me ride upon the high places of the earth. We're not eating all these small, you know, chicken eating worms and... No, we're riding on the high places of the earth. And God is saying to you this morning, I have an upgrade for you, so take it. Take that upgrade in every area of your life. Take that upgrade in every area. By now, your eyes should be lifted up a little higher. No matter how your vision was in December 2020, by now, your vision should be higher. Like, we can do something bigger. We can do something greater. Hallelujah. We are not limited. We are not limited by circumstances. We are not limited by elements. We are not limited by situations. We are not limited by any kind of thing. We should be able to do higher.
Amen.
Upgrade. Somebody say upgrade.
Upgrade.
God has upgrade for you. So this week, I want you to check every area of your life. Upgrade. And anywhere where you are not, you know, the thing is still sitting down. It's still sitting where it always was. Say, hey, come on now. Come on now, it's time to rise up. Don't say, I'm going to wait until God lifts you. Where God says, now I'm lifting you, so you get up.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You have to put some energy in your muscles. You have to put some energy in your nerves, in your body, and get up. When God says, get up, then get up.
Yes.
When the Lord says, it's time to get up, then you get up.
Yes.
There's one scripture in Isaiah where he said, deliver yourself from the... from something of your neck. I can't remember how. It's almost like, okay, I've already prepared it for you, so you get it done now. Get it done. God isn't the one. Sometimes we say, oh, we're waiting for the Lord to do it. No, God said, now you do it now.
Amen.
You do it now.
Upgrade.
What is that? You found that scripture for me? Oh, that's Isaiah. There's one, I think, I'm not sure if Isaiah 59 or somewhere where he says, deliver yourself from the band of your neck or something, he said, something. It's almost like, yeah, I've already, my anointing has destroyed the yoke, but now I want you to get up and upgrade.
Amen.
Somebody say, we're upgrading.
We're breaking out.
We're lifting up.
And
we are having new beginnings.
Amen.
Isaiah 52 verse 2, thank you. Please put that up for me. Isaiah 52 verse 2. That's it, thank you. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bands of your neck. Loose yourself from the bands of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. These things that have been holding you in captivity. These things that have been holding you bound. Won't let you fly. He said, you, shake yourself from that dust. Shake yourself from that dust. Arise, he said. O Jerusalem, loose yourself from the bands of your neck. Loose yourself from the bands of your neck. Get rid of those shackles. Nothing is holding you back. No one can hold you down. Loose yourself from the bands of your neck. Loose yourself. Hallelujah. Loose yourself. Whatever wasn't working before has to work. Amen. It has to work. I don't care how many times you did that exam and failed it. You have to pass now. You will pass now. Amen. I don't care how many times you repeated that same class. You have to move up now. Amen. You have to move up now. Amen. I don't care how many times you repeated that same pattern. We have to break you out now and release you. Amen. It's over.
It's over. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the word of the Lord. Let's not be playing here. This is the word of the Lord. Let's go get everything that the Lord has for us. Let's go get everything. And I'm telling you already, as the first quarter passed, I'm telling you, if you just lift up your eyes a little bit, you would already see some major upgrades that God prepared for you. They are waiting for you to take them now. So don't say, I'm just waiting for the Lord. No, you prayed, you waited for the Lord in January, February, March. Now it's time to go get it. Loose yourself from the bands of your neck. Shake yourself up from the dust. I love that. Shake yourself from the dust. Shake yourself up from the dust. Take off the ashes. It says somewhere in Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah chapter 61. He's given unto you, didn't he say, beautiful ashes. Isn't that what he said? Your days of mourning are over. Unless you just want to mourn so people can keep pitying you. But remember, people's pity doesn't change anything in your life. Right? So he says, to appoint unto them, Isaiah chapter 61 verse 2, appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Amen. It's time. It's time.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Arise and shine. That first scripture you put up for us. Arise and shine, Isaiah 60 verse 1. For your light is come. He said in the Amplified, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine. Be radiant with the glory of the Lord. For your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. I hope somebody is listening to me this morning.
Yes.
I'm speaking to you prophetically.
Yes. Amen.
Arise from the depression. Come on. I think Pastor Tinu said, what was that? He said, put a smile on your face. Is that what he said? Paste it or something. Thank you. Paste it. Take off the depression. Take off the anger. Take off the mourning. Take off the heaviness. And put on the garment of praise and the garment of joy. Why? Because you are going up higher. I've already seen that. You are going up higher. We are going up higher. We are going up higher. There are things we have never done before. We are about to do them now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We were talking sometime a few days ago, saying something about, like, you know, there's a horizon. There's like this, you know, things that used to be your aspiration, your vision, can become your baseline now. Because God now has a new vision for you. And we're saying something about that. Like, things that used to be like your biggest dreams, your biggest visions, for years that you didn't even know how you could get those, how you could achieve those, how you could do those, they have now, we look back and they become our baseline. Baseline. Now there's a new vision. There's a higher vision. And God says, I'm calling you to upgrade, not downgrade. I'm calling you to rise up, not shut down. Hallelujah. All right, I think I'm done with that. Let's go to today's message. I have 30 minutes to preach that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's talk for a few minutes here about the predetermined particulars of your purpose. The predetermined particulars of your purpose. There are seven areas we identified every believer needs to fulfill their God-ordained purpose in their lives. The first one is give your life to Christ and make him the center of your life. Cultivate consistent fellowship with God the Father. Number two, make Jesus your Lord and Master. Give him the preeminence in all areas of your life. Number three, find your place of service and calling in the body of Christ and devote yourself to it. Number four, find God's purpose for your life's vocation and commit to it. Number five, do your part and pay your vows. Support the kingdom of God financially in whichever ways and wherever you and God deem appropriate. Number six, do your part in preparing for the Lord's return. Get ready for Jesus' second coming. And finally, number seven, make your family and your close natural relationships a reflection of God's family in heaven. Cultivate the culture of heaven and foster love, joy, and peace, and a balanced and healthy family life. Those are the seven major areas in which believers can fulfill their purpose. Now, we're looking at that one that says, do your part and pay your vows, support the kingdom of God financially in whichever ways you and God deem appropriate. And when we close this out before the celebration, Palm Sunday and Easter, where we took some break from ministering on this theme, I really did identify three major areas and three major levels of our financial obligation in the kingdom of God. In the very first service where I ministered in this particular on this particular topic, I talked a lot about our financial obligation, our financial interaction in the kingdom of God being an obligation, like a debt that we owe. And really, to be quite honest with you, that's the way the Lord made it in the Old Testament. That's not New Testament teaching. It is not New Testament teaching to relate with your giving as a debt you owe. Because when your giving is merely, when you're giving to the kingdom of God, is merely at the level of the debt you owe, you are operating the same standard that the Lord made them operate in the Old Testament. Do you know why the Lord made them operate that way in the Old Testament? Because first, he gave them the opportunity to make their giving willing, voluntary, joyful, cheerful. And one of the greatest examples you see of that is between Cain and Abel. And there was no law at the time as to how exactly they were supposed to give. But Abel made his giving a joyful experience. He made it an experience of love, an experience of praise, and he made it a covenant exchange. Cain, on the other hand, would not even fulfill the obligation of paying the debt he owed. From all the things that God gave him, when it came time to make a sacrifice, Cain went and brought the least. He brought the least. He didn't even bring average. He brought the least. And God rejected it. And Later on, when the law was instituted and the Lord started to give them the laws of tithing and laws of first fruit and laws of all of these different laws that concern giving, giving became a law. Tithing became a law because many of them were not even doing that, just paying that, just obligation, like Cain. So the Lord said, one-tenth is the minimum. Last year, we ministered in this area, and I told you, tithe is minimum payment due. It is, really. It's just minimum payment due to the kingdom of God. And I don't know about you, but for so many years now, we've operated at the level of higher than minimum payment due. And so, you just expect, you expect more from the Lord. You expect His favor. You expect His grace. Yeah. He said in Malachi, you know, yeah, if you, you know, you tithe and he would rebuke the devourers for your sake and He will pour out a blessing upon you and all of that's great. But there's a level of your interaction in the kingdom of God with the Lord, some of which you are going to hear about this morning in this teaching here. There's a level of some of your interaction with the Lord when it comes to giving of your substance and giving of your best to the Lord, where you before the Lord actually qualify for His best. Where you actually qualify for His best. One of the reasons I know that most ministers, most pastors, and certainly I have dealt with that in my life and in my ministry, are very careful to minister on subjects like this. Is immediately, you know, you call attentions, you're uncomfortable, people are uncomfortable and all of that. So it's difficult sometimes to get through it and really teach it the way the Word of God teaches it. But we have an advantage here. One of the reasons why we lay foundation and I go through steps and steps and steps is to give you a comfort level so you are not uncomfortable. And then, two, I'm not about to receive an offering, right? So, you know, offering is over. We've done that. But what we're teaching is the areas of purpose, how the purpose of God for your life, how it affects the area of your finances. So you can relax and hear it and check the scriptures. When you hear the teaching, go back home. Because nobody's raising an offering. And in fact, you know, you've got all this flexibility. Remember, part of what we said in that thing, do your part and pay your vows, support the kingdom of God financially in whichever ways and wherever you and God deem appropriate. See, I'm not teaching this so that the church can get some more money or so that Abundant Life International Church Commission, the ministry, can receive more. Of course, I expect the Lord to bless us all the time. But that's not my purpose for teaching this, to try to squeeze out some more dollars from you. That's not my goal at all. At all. My goal is to see to it that you become enriched in the kingdom of God. You become so blessed. And because you are so blessed, there is no way you will not remember Abundant Life. Right? No, there's no way you won't remember. Because you will be so blessed, it will be flowing, flowing, flowing. And if it's flowing, and you come from a place where you are pinching and scratching, and now it's flowing, and it's flowing, and you already have the bottom line, the principles of the covenant within you. As you are blessing different parts of the kingdom of God, of course, certainly you bless Abundant Life. I know there's no way you won't bless that. You are already blessing Abundant Life. Amen. Abundant Life is able to do a lot of what it's able to do today, and I dare not look back because it's an amazing journey. It's been an amazing journey, what the Lord's done for us, where He's brought us from. But none of that would be possible without all of you good people who sow into Abundant Life. Amen. I mean, how much work can any one person or two people do to fund the kingdom of God by that? It's impossible. It's impossible. It is good people that God touches. All of you, and many more that we don't even know about. Anonymous donors, anonymous. And recently, the Lord put in my spirit, you know, you're going to receive some huge anonymous gifts in the ministry, He said. Amen. So I'm getting myself ready for that. So, I mean, think about the journey and think about the impact and think about the so many blessings of God and the so many lives that have been touched and lives that are still being touched today. It's because of all the good people that the Lord has used to bless us. Amen. Amen. To give freely, to love, to serve. That's what's making it happen. These dollars don't drop from heaven. God does certainly send angels to go minister to some people and tell them, sow there, give there. But God doesn't rain down dollars. If God rains down dollars from heaven, it will be counterfeit. So God uses people. But that's not my goal. You already know that. And we have a trust. I've led this organization now for almost 20 years. So we have trust. I'm not wet behind my ears. This is not my first rodeo. So you know, I'm not looking for a way to get money from people. No, at all. You have heard me say, God is our source. Much as God uses people to bless us and God uses people to supply our needs and all of, God ultimately is our source. We never ever depend on one channel or the other. God is the source. And we have lived that. We haven't just preached it, we have lived it. Amen. And it has worked. It continues to work. Yes. Amen. Amen. All right. So having that little housekeeping is out of the way. So it's very important that, you know, we're able to receive messages like this to see God's ultimate purpose where it concerns the resources he brings into our lives. There's an aspect to the kingdom of God that the resources God gives us are supposed to reach, to touch. And so God instituted this law in the Old Testament, and he said, your giving is a debt. So he told them, at least 10%, he told them. He said, tithe. It's a law. But in the New Testament, our giving is not supposed to be a debt. We don't need, and bear with me, if you are still at that place where you need someone to kind of just work hard and work hard and work hard to have you give that 10%, that's fine. Just present yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm struggling a lot in this area. Just help me engage your grace. I want to get beyond this. This is basic minimum, basic minimum. I want to get beyond this. Where my giving isn't just like I owe a debt, and you know every time I have to do it, you know, man, it's such a struggle, and you know, there's a reason why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I think it's verse 6 or verse 7b. You can put that up for me in the Amplified, where it says, "And God loves a cheerful giver." There's a reason for that. He loves a cheerful. You didn't hear him say that to them necessarily in the Old Testament, even though he loved a cheerful giver then. He said, God loves a cheerful giver. And if you look at it in the Amplified, I think it's 2 Corinthians 9, I think it's verse 7, the B part, I think it is. If you can put that up for me. That's it, thank you. Look at the B part where it says, for God loves, he takes pleasure in, he prizes above other things, and he is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. Think about that. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, he prizes above other things, and he's unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in this. You see, when it comes to our new covenant with the Lord, God doesn't want us giving out of a sense of debt or obligation. God wants us giving out of a sense of joy and gratitude and thanksgiving and love. That's why he loves those givers who give cheerfully, whose heart is in their giving. He loves them because, see, let's put this out one more time. At the very lowest level, our giving is an obligation. It is a debt that we owe. At a higher level, our giving is a covenant exchange. It is our seed that we sow in expectation of harvest we desire. So if you sow a seed, you will get a harvest. But at the highest level, our giving is our expression of love to God. It is our praise, thanksgiving, and gratitude, appreciation to the Lord for who He is and what He has done and what He is doing and what He will do. Our giving of our best is a blessing to the Lord and shows our gratitude for His best, which He has already freely shared with us. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. There is a level, that's that level that we are aspiring for. There is a level where our giving is an expression of our love. You're going to hear me say one or two things about that this morning. Not every act of giving is an expression of love, but every expression of love includes acts of giving. You might want to write that down. Every act of giving is an expression of love. Just the fact that somebody gives doesn't mean they are giving in love. And Paul told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you can look at that scripture, look at it for a minute, look at it real quick, let me show you this, because this is very important for you to see this, I want you to get this. Look at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and the tongues of angels, and I do not have love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And even though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and even though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and yet I have no love, he said, I'm nothing. And then he said in verse 3, even though I bestow all that I give away, all my goods to feed the poor, and even though I give my body to be burned, and even though I do all of that and yet have not love, he said, it profits me nothing. So it is possible to give away all my goods and not do it in love. It is possible. So go back to that statement that I just gave you. I wanted you to write it down so you could meditate it later. Not every act of giving is an expression of love, but every expression of love includes acts of giving. Let me say that to you one more time, because you need to meditate that. Not every act of giving is an expression of love, but every expression of love includes acts of giving. You cannot love without giving. It is impossible to love without giving. What's the scripture? John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, amen, that whosoever believes in him should not do what? Perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Amen. It is impossible to love without giving. And then he told us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 as well. Remember, this is John 3:16 I just read to you. But in 1 John 3, verse 16, he says almost exactly the same thing. And this time, please put that up for me so I don't waste time here in the KJV. Thank you. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Notice, the expression of God's love included giving. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. Go to the next verse. It's impossible to love without giving. Next verse. It says, but whosoever has this world's good and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how can that person say, I have the love of God in me? How dwelleth the love of God in him? Go to the next verse. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in what? In deed and in truth. Let's not just love by talking. Now, many people say, I love you, I love you, I love, but they don't know what love means. I love you is one of the most common phrases on the earth today. Sometimes people can hold a gun to somebody else's head and say, I love you, and pull the trigger. And that's an extreme and violent act. Not many people are pulling guns and pulling the triggers to people they say, I love you too. But you know how many people are abusing people? Living lives of abuse? Hurting people. Hurting. They're doing the things that constitute the most hurtful things to the people that they say, I love you. And what they are doing is the most hurtful thing. And they know they are doing it for their selfish purposes. They know they are doing it because they want to have their way. I know several years ago when I started, you know, developed a curriculum for premarital counseling. I know that one of the things I used to do way back then was I'll say to couples, define to me, explain what love is. And most people will say love is how I feel. You know, I love it. And especially how my precious sisters used to say something like, man, I love him so much. You know, I can't even go to sleep at night without talking to him, without reading his text. I love, when I think about him, I have goosebumps. And then I say, you know, you're not going to have those goosebumps forever. And if you've ever sat in a room with me where we did premarital counseling or marital counseling or whatever, you've heard that from me. You're not going to have those goosebumps forever.
That's right.
Because love is more a decision than a feeling.
Yes.
It's more a decision than a feeling. It's not even just words, what we type or what we say before we go to bed. I love. No, it's a decision. And what is this decision? Is I'm going to put your interest over mine.
Yeah.
I'm going to put your interest over mine. And if it ever comes to it, I'll sacrifice what is precious to me so that you can get what is precious to you.
Yeah.
That's love. That's the definition of love. I'll sacrifice what is precious to me so that you can have. Listen. The fact that you want it, the fact that you desire it, the fact that you crave it, isn't wrong. You are human. Every human we all have things we crave. We all have things we desire. We all have things we long for. And for as long as we live in this flesh, we're going to have things we crave after, things we long for, and things we desire. But there are times when you say, okay, because I love you, Lord, I'm going to let go of that thing that I crave and that thing that I long for and that thing I desire. I'm going to put your interest over mine. I'm going to make that sacrifice. That's love. That's love. You could continue to crave it. You could continue to long for it. You could continue to desire it. You could continue to go after it. But at some point, if you say, Lord, I love you, I'm willing to give up even what is most precious to me so that you can have what is most precious to you. That's love. How many people start out talking about love and they're always talking about I? There is no I in love. Like athletes say, there's no I in team. The late Kobe Bryant, when Shaq said to him, there's no I in team, he said, he used his expletives and said, there's I in win. there's I in win, mother effer. That's what he said, Kobe Bryant. We all love him, don't we? Pray for God's mercy on his family, his wife, and their children. He was quite a character. See, because he will hug the ball. He will hug the ball and he will do all his dribbling and hug the ball. And he, you know, was having very little assists. And one time, Shaq, somebody said to Shaq, tell him, because his the teammates, you know, they couldn't tell him directly. They said, you know, tell him, you know, he's hugging the ball. He's not passing the ball. So Shaq went to him and told him, hey, Kobe, pass the ball. Huh? There's no I, there's no I in team. Well, Kobe's response was he called him that expletive and told him there is I in win. And it's true, there's I in win. But when you talk about love, you are talking about putting somebody's interest and making sacrifices to put somebody's interest over you, over yours, even though it's costing you something. Even though it's costing you something. So all these people go around, talking about how they love. But the moment you make a demand on what costs them, what is precious to them, they flip. Oh, yeah. Then it's over. So why do you think you have all these cases out there? Come on, why do you think you have all this? The moment you have is something that really challenges what they want to do, what they want, and you say, give it up for me, it's not their life. It's just something that's precious to them. You say, give it up for me, that's when you see. So all this talk, they don't even know what love means. So, the Lord, see, the highest level of our giving, it must be giving that is based on love. That we love Him so much that even when we're making sacrifices for Him, even when we're giving things that are precious to us, we do it with a cheerful heart. We're prompt to it. What's our greatest example of this? It's Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. God came to him and said, Abraham, you've always told me you love me. But I do know somebody that you really love. We know for sure someone you really love. And I want you to give him to me. Think about it. The most precious thing in Abraham's life was that boy that he waited for several decades of his life. This was the most precious thing in Abraham's life. God came to him and said, give him to me. He said in Genesis chapter 22, you see there, it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham, as said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. The Lord reminded him, I know you love him. I know you love this boy. And I want you to get into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I will tell you. Look at what Abraham did. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and he saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he took wood for burnt offering, and he rose up and he went to the place which God had told him. Immediately, the next morning, early. Look at that. Early. Oh, there's no question about it, folks. Abraham loved the Lord. No question about it. Abraham loved the Lord. You didn't even have to, you know, all these debates people have. How do you know? I don't, you know, how couples get in their room. How can you say I don't love you? Wait. No, there's no question. Abraham, there was no debate. And then it's open to who has the finest words, right? Who knows how to say it best? Who has the juiciest way to express it? There was no controversy. God came to Abraham. Hey, Abraham. I know what you love the most. I know who you love the most. There was no question about it. Abraham immediately knew who God was talking about. He said, give him to me. God didn't say, prove your love. He just said, give him to me. Because that immediately proved Abraham's love for God. And immediately, early the next morning, of course, this was hurtful to Abraham. Of course, this is a boy he waited for years, almost 30 years of his life. He's just going to go and kill this boy as a sacrifice to God? I mean, I imagine he may not have told Sarah, because Sarah may have thought, you lost your mind. I always knew you were a crazy person, but now finally I concluded you are crazy. You lost your mind. Because this boy, you're going to go kill our only son? He did. And in verse 11, when he was about to make the sacrifice, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am, Lord. And he said, do not lay your hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God. Actually, the depth of that word, fear God, in this context, in this situation, was you have a deep reverential fear of God and you love him. Seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from him. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. See, so many believers struggle to have experiences, divine experiences with Jehovah Jireh like this. So many believers go through mechanical situations where they have to pull everything together themselves. They have to pull their hairs out to make things happen. But they don't really have these supernatural experiences where, you know, there's these divine things that happen just periodically, where Jehovah Jireh shows himself. Where Jehovah Jireh shows himself. Hallelujah. Where Jehovah Jireh shows himself. Where Jehovah Jireh shows. Just, and you know what? It's not always money. It's not always material things. Look, this is he said, and he lifted up his eyes and he saw a ram caught in a thicket. He saw a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be called, it shall be seen. Hallelujah. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham from heaven a second time and said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, because you have done this thing and you have not withheld your son, your only son, in blessing I will bless you. See, Abraham didn't even ask for it. He didn't even pray for it. In blessing I will bless you, including keeping his son. And in multiplying, I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And your seed will possess the gate of their enemies. Woo! And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you obeyed my voice. He showed his love for God in his prompt obedience. It was hurtful. It was painful. It was difficult. It was extremely, extremely excruciating. But he did it anyways because he loved him. Amen. Because he loved him. Amen. See, this, I want you to know, saints. I know sometimes, you know, for those of us, our parents who've raised little children and then their adult children, you know, and especially if the way we raise our children, I know Pastor T said, gave one or two examples about this. You know, I mean, and this is a constant ongoing thing. So, you know, you keep walking and you keep walking and you don't take nothing for granted. But there are some foundational things you lay there. You just help them know from the beginning. You just help them know. It's nothing. See, God is a supernatural God. There is nothing impossible for God. There's no situation in your life that God cannot fix. There's nothing that you come to, nothing you desire, nothing you come to a point in your life where you need a miracle that God will not show up for you. Yeah. You raise them. And you know what? You have to keep teaching them. You don't just teach them for Sunday school, 1 hour during the week. It's not how you do it. And so when we prescribe this for parents, we can boldly do it confidently because we did it. It's not a question of like, oh, you're just, no, I'm not just spouting stuff, theoretical. No. It's how we lived. Taught them who this God is. You trust this God. You learn this God. And as they continue to grow, sometimes they deviate. Or sometimes they make mistakes and we quickly pull them back. Hey! And they remember, ha! That's not what I learned. No, seriously. Amen. And I don't argue. Quickly. That's not what I learned. Yeah. Because when you go in the world and you mix and you have all these associations and all this, I mean, think about it. I mean, in the schools and everywhere, you know, the average kid isn't living godly. They're not looking for a way to please God. And when they get out, they think it's freedom. I can do anything I want now. But we raise those children to believe there's nothing God can do. And we demonstrated, if it's in the area of giving, for instance, I mean, they saw it. We didn't just talk about it. They saw it. And as young children, they did it. And I can probably pull out example after example of things they did. But I remember one time we were in New Orleans. It was Branson, Missouri. We're in Branson, Missouri. And several years ago, we were attending a conference there. And yeah, of course, you know, many of those conferences, we didn't really have much. But we went and got around the Word of God and grew and learned and all of that. And I remember one of the times we went out for lunch or dinner. I can't remember the time of the day that it was. We went to this, Golden Corral, I think it was. You know, this place where you get buffet, everything. I mean, you can, all you can eat, and it's just, how much do you pay? Maybe $10, $12. I mean, and you know, when we went to Golden Corral in those days, man, who cared about nutrition and diet? We ate like three meals in one. You know, you stuff yourself. We used to pace ourselves. You know, you start with something really light so that can kind of go all the way down there and settle there. You laugh, you talk a little bit, you know, you let that thing settle. You know, in fact, I remember there was one of those situations. We finished and then I started stretching, and these kids had never seen me. They had never seen me like that, ever. And we laughed like we lost our minds in that place. And I remember it was this old van we were driving, and we got in, you know, and they saw me. We were going to the van. I started stretching everything. And they started laughing. So, what are you doing? I said, you know, I have food everywhere. I'm trying to mix it up so it goes to the different departments. We were so stuffed in that place. For $12, we ate almost three meals. I mean, these were the days in which if you travel, you go to a hotel, you have to make sure that hotel serves breakfast, light breakfast. So you have one meal settled there. And then by the time you go to Golden Corral, that's three meals in one. I mean, you are done for like 1.5 days. You are good. $12. And we were so, I got to stop here, my time is up. But we were so touched, you know, we came out, we had just finished eating, but one of the people who came to serve us at the table was a pastor. This older gentleman, he served us at our table, gave us different things and all of that. And of course, as I usually do, I just start asking questions and, you know, that's me, I just talk. So I asked him, oh, well, you're so nice, and what do you do? And he said, I'm a pastor. I said, you're a pastor? I said, yeah. I said, and you're working here? I said, yeah. He said, yeah, I do this part-time. And it's an older man, gray hair, right, everything. And our hearts just so went out to this man. And when we finished, our son, Emmanuel David, took the only money he had in his wallet. He was like 9 years old then. The only money he had in his wallet, he went and looked for this pastor. And he emptied his wallet and gave it to him. Gave him everything he had. And when he came back, we said, why do you do that? He said, just wanted to sow a seed. Just wanted to bless him. I heard his story. I just wanted to be a blessing to him anywhere I could. And all I had was, you know, man. And that day, the Lord told me that boy is going to be very wealthy. I knew it. I mean, he's going to be stupendously wealthy. I know it. I know. But why do you teach them all these things? Why do you? Because you want them, this covenant, you want it to work in their lives. You want to produce in their lives, and you are going to challenge them. You are going to, and you are going. So it's not always going to be fun. One last story. Let me close. And You know, you teach them all these supernatural things, but you know, they're not always there. A lot of experiences that we have, Pastor Tino and I have in the area of this, some of these supernatural, divine things that happen, a lot of crazy things that I tell you, if I could write a whole book and you wouldn't be able to read that, you would not be able to finish that book. Supernatural experiences, just God, angels of God and divine things just happening. And but, you know, every now we tell them many of these things and they're like, And then, you know, children are, praise God. Ooh, huh. But, you know, so God has a good sense of humor. And sometimes the Lord wants them to see it themselves. So you are not the one telling them. And I remember this last Christmas, 2020 Christmas. We went out to celebrate Christmas and out of state. We were coming back, drove back. It was a terrible winter snow, whatever it was. I can't remember. It was so bad. And we didn't take our stronger truck. We took the lighter truck. And finally, we got around the house. And the snow, because we had been gone for about a week, the snow was all the way. I mean, we tried. What didn't we try? I mean, and then, you know, we're going to, Pastor Tino was going to, she offered, she was going to go and wear her boots and go to try to, you know, maybe get the shovel or get something or whatever. I said, no, let Christine go. Christine put, she said, okay, so we're going to find a way to get Christine to the side of the house so she could walk into the house to go, you know, get her boots and bring, well, they were going to go bring my boots. They were going to go bring my, because I didn't have boots. They were going to go bring my boots so that I could walk through that snow and go get the shovel and shovel us, find a way to shovel us in. And while all this drama was, I'm talking last Christmas, December 25, 2020. And we were all in the car. So I said, all right, guys, this is what we're going to do. Let's go. You know what? There was a park around. Let's pull into the park. We pulled into the park. Let's pray. We prayed. Lord, thank you. You brought us home. You'll find a way to get us in, some way or the other. We prayed. And then Christine told, you are going to go into the house and go help bring my boots. And so, okay, fine. We make sure she had her coat and everything. She got her. I said, okay, we get back in the car. Let's drive you to the side of the house so you can get in easily. She got in. And I said, let's drive. And the moment we pulled out of that park, right across me was a snow plow. Big snow plow. As soon as we pulled out after praying, the snow plow, we were at the traffic light, the snow plow was at the traffic light. At the moment that we pulled out, immediately I changed direction and turned around and went to the snow plow, pulled up beside him and said, hey, man, I need your help. I need you to help us clear this snow right here. And I was pointing to where, right here. He said, where? Like, this is like this. Are you crazy? You don't know me. I said, yeah, I need you to help us. Say, okay. He said, right there. We pointed there. That man cleared the snow and we got into the house. And there was this cash somebody had given us. You know, I was holding this cash. I wanted to spend it at Christmas. You have things you want. For some reason, I was just holding on to this cash. Finally, the guy said, this is where I'm going. I said, don't worry about it. I have it in my bag. I went there, and there was that money that we needed to pay that man. When that man finished and left, we got into the house. Our children went, wow. They said, wow, that's supernatural. How could you have come out, and at the same moment that you came out, a snowplow was there at the traffic light? You know, we broke out into praise. We broke out into joy. We were rejoicing. We were. And our children were saying, oh, we're so happy we saw this. We're so happy we saw this. Because you always tell us these stories, but we don't see them. But we saw this. We saw this. Now, let me tell you, there is no bigger testimony. There is no greater testimony than when they see it. It goes beyond what somebody keeps saying, God, supernatural, divine, supernatural. No, they see, they experience. And you know what? God sent an angel. God sent an angel. I mean, we're talking, how late was this? I mean, this was maybe like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. We had service the next Sunday morning. I'm not sure if it was the children who said it. One of them said, oh, no, maybe it was not. And maybe it was you, Pastor Tino, who said, oh, you are probably going to share this. And I said, oh, no, this is too sacred to talk about right now. I mean, and we've not said a word about it since December 20, whatever that was, 2020. This is the first time anything about that has been said. It was a supernatural divine experience. The ministry of angels right there. Now, that is Jehovah Jireh. That is Jehovah Jireh, the ram caught in the thicket. It's not money. I didn't need money that day. $1 million wouldn't have got us into our house that day. We needed a miracle. There it was, Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah. 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 So when our walking and when our living and our giving goes beyond just, oh, it's a debt. Oh, it's, no, it's, we love him. When you give God your best, God will give you his best. God will give, he will give you his best. When you train yourself to give God your best always, joyfully, happily, even when you are giving the greatest sacrifices and it's hurtful and it's painful, but you've trained yourself, just keep giving God your best. Keep giving. Listen, in the day when you least expect it, Jehovah Jireh will show up for you. He will show up for you. The ram caught in the thicket will show up for you. I hope you receive something. Let's stand to our feet. Let's bless the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father God, for your mighty word.